Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the fifth of the BAUS podcasts. When we introduced these in the summer of 2020, our aim was to communicate with our members more effectively about some of the work that BAUS was doing, some of the new initiatives that we'd launched, so that people could be kept up to date with interesting projects and perhaps find projects that they might be interested in joining in and helping with. And today's podcast relates to the work of the SAS Doctor group that has been formed, and some very interesting initiatives under the SAS umbrella. And I've got three of the leading lights of that group with me today to fill members in on what this SAS initiative is really trying to do. Nitin Chotri, who is a consultant neurologist in Canterbury, Mewash Nadeem, who's a consultant neurologist at the James Cook in Middlesbrough, and Sirash Natawala, who's the SAS Doctor Rep on the BAUS Council, who's an associate specialist in the Good Hope. Welcome to you all. Nitin, this wasn't my idea, the SAS group. I've never worked with an SAS doctor, I don't think, in my whole 21 years at Guy's. Why did you want to pull this group together?
Tim, thank you very much for asking me that question. It's something that came true because during my time as a consultant in East Kent, I often saw that doctors who worked in staff grade or associate specialist grades were quite often used in the system and used by the system and did not get adequate respect or recognition, really, in my opinion. And I just thought that this was a huge goldmine of doctors sitting there who could be tapped for their resources. And the NHS is struggling with doctors, with specialist doctors, with senior doctors. And I feel that we could use this group of doctors, help them come up the ladder and practice on their own. And that would be a win-win situation for them, for BAUS and the NHS in general.
Okay. You've used, I think, three or four different terms already, staff grade, associate specialist, SAS doctors. It might be confusing for some people on the call to have all these terms been abandoned? Have they all been introduced into one term? Maybe just could you give some clarity on that for us?
That's a great question, Tim. I have learned so much in the last few years, in fact, and the term that we have used and actually abused this group by is by using the term middle grade doctors. And that doesn't describe them in any correct way. That's the first thing that I'd like to correct. Middle grade doctors is not the right term for any of these doctors. So we have the SAS, which means the staff grade doctors, the associate specialist doctors, and the specialty doctor. We need to add a further group to this, and that is the locally employed. And all these group of doctors are clubbed into what is an insulting term called the middle grade, which all of us need to stop using. And I'd be very, very grateful if all our colleagues could actually stop using the term middle grade.
So it's a group of doctors who are not consultants and are not in a training program to become consultants, but are providing urology as specialists in urology.
Absolutely. They do a lot of work. They do a lot of the work in most departments. And really, I think what we would like to offer them is respect for what they do and recognize them for their efforts and help them in their career path.
I remember when we spoke in the summer, this was a strong theme that you developed about respect. Wanted people to be respected, and you wanted to develop people's careers. Everybody needed to have a chance to have their career developed in order that we provide the highest standard of urology across the country. As I've been struck by how much urology is provided by SAS doctors in some parts of the country, the majority of the urology is provided by SAS doctors. So it was interesting when I gave my talk this year, on the 75th anniversary of BAUS, the founding fathers of BAUS, and they were fathers, decided that the principal goal of BAUS should be to promote a high standard in the practice of urology. We need to develop the careers of everybody in urology, not just a small number. Mewash, tell us about your journey and why have you got interested in this project?
Thank you very much, Tim. I'll give you just a little bit of background to what Nitin has already elaborated on. In addition to respect and recognition, my aim was to give a platform for the SAS doctors to progress. And I think progress is the key if we want them to be recognized at the local, national, and international level. with that, I'll give you a background about myself. So when I came to the country in 2015, my first encounter in the country was with you. You won't remember, because I was a doctor on a clinical attachment who was just there to explore what NHS is about, how is urology in the UK. And that was my clinical attachment at Guy's. And I was in my last year of training from Pakistan. I finished my training in 2014, and I came into the country as a registrar, as a clinical fellow kind of job. And I was holding FCPS urology, which is qualification from Pakistan. And with that qualification, you can work as an independent consultant. And when I came to the country, I had to start from the scratch. I completed my registrar post and started looking onto the option of CESAR.
Could you just explain what CESAR is? Not everybody on the call will know what CESAR is.
Yeah, exactly. I was the same 5 years ago when Professor Shamim Khan first spoke to me about this option. I was not aware of this. So this is a kind of an equivalent for somebody who has not gone through a training program into urology, and they want to get onto the urology GMC urology specialist register.
So it's the certificate of eligibility for specialist registration.
That's true. That's true. And it was in the former term, I think it was also called as Article 14. So people are aware of different terms. And this is a process that gives you an equivalence. So you're technically working alongside the curriculum of CCT. So you have to fulfill all the criteria. It will be knowledge and skills, your managerial, leadership skills, patient safety, and all of those domains. I started working with guidance of Professor Shamim Khan in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then on the way, I found all my consultants, which luckily came through a CESAR process. So they were aware of how it works.
Okay.
So I work alongside with them. And there was a little bit of guidance, did not have any mentor per se. I did not have a supervisor.
So you felt guidance was somewhat lacking. And is that one of the things that you'd like to develop as part of this exercise, that we have much clearer guidance for people?
Absolutely. So when I worked through a very hard way, a very lonely journey, a difficult journey, I promised myself that once I get done with this, once I get successful, I have to make it easier for others. If I can help one person, that will be it. But I want to help people. And along the way, I gathered a lot of people who I was working alongside on their applications. But when I spoke to Nitin, I found that we can actually work through a platform to help more people. And the whole idea was to helping people to make this whole thing easier for them.
I see. That's very interesting. We'll come back to you in a second. But I'd like to perhaps bring Siraj in on the call now. Now, Siraj, you've recently been elected in the democratic processes of BAUS to be the SAS representative on BAUS Council. Tell us a little bit about why you want to engage with this process and make it work.
I think, Tim, getting me the opportunity to join in the council with the BAUS. Now, my journey is that I was invited by the Royal College of Surgeons through overseas doctors training program. Now, that was very popular in 1990, and I had 150 doctors coming from overseas and working under the Royal College. And we were given a training for 2 years. And at that time, it was decided that we want to join here, then we can work in this country. Now, at that time, the opportunity that when I came, I was only for 4 months, I was SHO. And my background as a master's in surgery back home, and I had my own private practice with a polyclinic. I was very fortunate that I want to come here and get some experience here.
So you were running a private practice at home in India, and you came to an SHO role in the United Kingdom.
That's right. I think my age at that time was 26, and I've got 6 doctors with me. And we used to do a polyclinic, and I used to do my private work. I'm waking up 5 o'clock morning, doing my operating work, back to the clinic. So almost 17 to 18 hours a day, we used to work so hard. And luckily, my uncle was a dentist here in this country. And I had in my mind that one day I'll go to UK and do some experience there.
Is that a common thread, that people might have a relative who's in a different specialty who's helped them? I mean, obviously, it seems that many of the doctors in the SAS role have trained abroad and then have come to the UK. It sounds like an incredibly diverse roots into this role. Is that common, that people might have a relative who has helped them along as well or not?
Yes, I think sometimes if you have a base here and people think that one of them, they can get the opportunity, they can come over here. Now, what actually happened that when we joined here and I was given a job with the registrar, and then I worked with the registrar, I got my independent practice working hard. And then suddenly the Talman training came up in 1998, I think. And that changed that those people who are on FRCS in the old FRCS, they can apply in the post for specialist registration in the GMC. So I went down with my boss to the one of the deanery and they said, oh, Mr. Natalwala, we heard about quite a few about your patients and you are wonderful. Try and apply that one up. And then I think I was a bit delayed for 2 years. And I thought, really, this is the time I need to think about. I was trying to move to America with my US family. And then I realized that my two boys, they need some stability with my family. And then I was fortunate to come to Good Hope in 1993. And for last 27 years, then I just stayed in Good Hope Hospital. Now, fortunate enough for me that I was staying in Good Hope and Good Hope was merging with Heart of England in 2007 and then later merged in 2017 with Queen Elizabeth Hospital. So rather than moving from me from one hospital to other, I was joining with the hospital and becoming the biggest unit.
Can I just stop you there? It sounds as if the Good Hope has been a supportive environment. Do you think every SAS doctor meets a supportive environment or is it rather patchy?
No, I think the main background is that you need a good support from your consultant colleagues, your teamwork. And what I learned that it's not only that you're working in your own field, you need to support the trust, you need to support the management, and you work in a team with the nurses. Now, I think you have developed so many things. In olden days, if you think about a general urologist, he will do everything. Nowadays, you've got a pelvic surgeon, robotic surgeon, stone surgeon. So we are just a part of a team and you have to work in the team. And I think the support was good from the consultant colleagues. They realized that this is a senior guy. He needs importance and that needs to work around. And I think I did play it around the job in a managerial post in other from the university, being a honorary, from the post from the university and then to work for overseas doctors bringing over here. I had one of the overseas St. Kitts Hospital in West Indies. And I used to get their students here for clinical attachment and supporting them. And then most of them now they're set in America with a good job.
Okay. It sounds like you've had an incredibly varied and interesting set of roles. I love the stories. I'm just going to go back to Nitin. So there's lots of different ways that people come into it. There certainly doesn't appear to be a standard template of coming into the SAS role, Nitin, at all. It was one of your aims to bring more consistency to the palette or... Tell us a bit more about the plans that you'd like to generate within the specialty.
Tim, what I found and learned in the last couple of years is that not everybody wants to go for the CESR. And some people are happy with their lot. Some people would like to develop and learn a skill or two. And others would like to go on to become consultants. So really, I used to think a few years ago that everybody wanted to become a consultant, but that's not the case. And as long as they practice urology to a high standard, it doesn't matter what they do and how, where they want to end up. So I think we got to let people do what keeps them happy because eventually I think quality of life is the most important thing. And if each doctor, each urologist reaches the zenith of what they wish to do, then that is all we want really. We don't want to push people beyond their limits because that only makes people unhappy and that's not the plan.
So it's a more nuanced approach. This isn't just about shoving everybody down the CESR route with an attempt to try and convert to being a consultant. But if people want to do that, then they can and you want to help them do that. But if people want to stay in the SAS role, then you want them to develop in urology as urologists in that role. However you want to develop, we want to make sure you develop to the maximum extent.
Yes. And the reason for that is not everybody wants to go and become a consultant. And also, sorry, one more thing I'd like to say is that this is the group of doctors who do not have any support often in their departments. Trainees will have their consultants, their ESs, their clinical supervisors looking after them. The SAS grade quite often do not have anybody. And that is the gap that I would like us to fill.
Yeah, okay, from our professional association. It's been an interesting exercise for me in my first 6 months as BAS president. Alvaro Basso definitely made it clear that BAUS needed to up its game with respect to SAS doctors. I mean, were BAUS disrespecting SAS? I think we were. We didn't count the SAS doctors in our workforce reports. Astonishing to report, but we didn't. An SAS doctor had been removed from BAUS Council, but we've reintroduced that with the election of Siraj, again, Alvaro was very clear. He said, well, if someone wasn't performing on BAUS Council, remove the person, not the role. So there were a couple of things there that really struck home to me about how we as a professional association needed to up our game. And, you know, I really want us to be in a position where we can have people flourish in our specialty. It seems to me it's important, if this is a role that many international graduates come into and there's going to be that continued inflow of graduates into the United Kingdom in medicine, then it's also a role that's very important in refreshing the medical workforce in our country. Would you agree with that, Nitin?
I would totally agree with that, because I feel that when you bring in new people, these are all clever people. They come from all over the world. They've got a different perspective to the work that we do, and they can only bring in new ideas. You know, they are, because they have migrated from another country, that itself shows their motivation and their desire to improve. And I'm sure that they are people with a lot of new ideas, useful ideas, that if we take on board, we will just be richer as an association and as an NHS and as a nation, really.
Siraj, do you still work 19-hour days at the Good Hope? It sounds like you came over for the easy life, having left the hard life behind.
No, I think when I started working, I did hard work here, actually. Most of the things, data I used to do, clinics I used to do. And with some back problem, I started limited myself. So now I do Monday to Friday. And majority because of the shielding, I have been covering 2 weeks weights and ANG guidance and all sort of things. And teaching the medical students, going through all the procedures. But yes, I think once you achieve. Now, Tim, about regarding the SAS doctors, what actually happened that there was not much support from what Nitin was suggesting. And the doctor, you know, the number started gradually going down because of IMG coming through the different channel. Clinical fellows were coming from different channel, and Trust started employing other doctors on the different names.
I see.
That was a big issue. Now, the thing is that from our side, if we try, because when I was doing the BMA on the National Committee and being a chair for West Midlands, I realized that I should repay back to BAUS, because this is the thing which I have learned so many things from the urology department. And being 62 at the age, I feel that another 10 years for me, I have to dedicate my service. And that was my purpose of joining as a council and to work around. I do agree that we had a SAS council member. I remember him. I met him maybe a year ago, and he's now become a consultant. He was a staff grade before. And I know him that he's never been in touch with us, not that active. Now, when you join as a president, I think a year before I spoke to Duncan and wrote a letter to him. And I didn't realize that the dream comes true. Because when Duncan said to me that this is, you are signing a death warrant, getting these SS doctors to be active. And he's right, because some of the SS doctors, they never take any positive step coming forward. Now, being advisor for my job here for SAS doctors, I always tell them that if you are in the clinical assistant job or trust grade job, you should ask your management to the trust that why don't you get me a standard contract for SS doctors so that I can have a national contract, I can get all the benefits which we have from the SS doctors. Now, government in 2008, they gave £7 million every year to SAS doctors. And I used to give £1,000 nearly to every doctor in my trust so that they can benefit from studies.
Okay, interesting. It sounds like you've been beavering away on this for years. Maybe go back to you, Mewash. Could I ask you a little bit more about mentoring? Do you think you had a mentor as you came through your career, and did it help you? And is it a role that you think you could fulfill for other SAS doctors who you might be able to help?
Thank you, Tim, for your question. Yes, I think it's really important to have a mentor. Now, about your question about whether I had a mentor, I think I forcefully asked people to be my mentor, if that makes sense, because they were my consultants. I had a very good professional relationship, or they had a background from Pakistan. But I think the key was, if you're working hard, if you're showing the dedication, if you're committing to the process, then everybody will be happy to help you. So I was from the department where I had 7 other non-training doctors, and I had 1 trainee. So the proportion, you can see it was quite unequal, which means most of the theatre list will go to the trainee, and all the non-trainee doctors have to distribute among themselves what theatre they want to go. So I thought, if I speak to my supervisor, which was not technically my supervisor, I was registrar to that consultant, but I kept reminding him to so-and-so, you know, you are my mentor, Mr. So-and-so, you know, you're my supervisor. And after a year, I think I got him into the process. Well, so that's how it worked for me. But what I think we discussed, me and Nitin had a conversation, and now through this BAUS SS platform, we are trying to bridge that gap and bring in the role of mentor, mentee. And this is essentially for the people who want to progress and they want to have some help with the exams or to the GMC specialist registration or for overall their professional development. So yeah. I think mentorship is absolutely crucial.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it would be one of the most valuable things that we do in this group. I was also struck on the webinar the other evening how important the appraisal process can be for people. And it's really important that people in all the roles demand that they can have an annual appraisal because that gives a formal opportunity to review career progression. Maybe back to you, Nitin. Has the last 2 or 3 months surprised you with the pace that things have moved at? What things have pleasantly surprised you? And has anything disappointed you? Has the BAUS president disappointed you? I mean, I know I normally do disappoint you in so many ways. What surprised you in a good way and what surprised you in a bad way?
Tim, I can only laugh at your question. But I must say that I've been pleasantly surprised by the enthusiasm that my mentor colleagues have had in pushing this. About you, I have trusted you for a long time. And we have had these conversations even 2 years ago about how much I felt that there was a lot of untapped talent within the NHS. And you agreed with me at that time, even 2 years ago. And all we've done is taken things forward. The speed with which it has gone has been absolutely pleasing. And I just love the way things have snowballed and got better. And I'm just amazed at the amount of support that I have noticed from a lot of other people who have not otherwise been in touch. But I can see that your support and your desire to push this forward has been absolutely important.
I want you to just perhaps cast your mind forward to the end of 2021. Where would you like this project to be at the end of 2021?
That is very, very far away, but I would like this project to be up in the top of BAUS's desires to support its staff, to support its members, and make the SAS group of doctors as equally respected as its consultant colleagues, because I think they do a fabulous job. And they have gone unrecognized for a long, long time. And whatever they do, they play a key role in the NHS in delivering all the services that we need to deliver.
Okay. Mehwash, when will you be standing for president of BAUS? That has to be the ultimate goal, doesn't it? To have someone who came through the SAS route became the president of BAUS. Are we looking at 2040 or 2038 or a bit sooner than that? I don't know how old you are and I won't ask you.
It's a very interesting question. And it's interesting because I'm talking to one of the president and I share office with the upcoming president. So I would be very cautious of saying when I actually want to, because you can imagine, like, I have got a secondhand information how is to be that busy and responsible for so many people. But certainly, if you ask me, I would look forward. I'm not sure when, but I think there will be a decade or more. But certainly, I am looking up to be at a post of a BAUS president.
Very good. I'm being very naughty, but Nitin knows I like just putting people on the spot. Where would you like the project to be at the end of the year, Siraj?
I think what we are doing with the speed, what we have done in the meeting and our webcast and has been done, which is amazing, that this is not only the SAS, even the consultant colleagues and other colleagues, the junior consultants, what they have come, they are supporting it. So what we will need, we need some sort of a roadmap to see what are the hurdles we have and to achieve. Yeah. And then to realize that, yes, I think if I give you an example that the junior doctors were never recognized in 1990, one of the GP was lying and sleeping in front of the parliament to make them aware that who the junior doctors are. Same thing is here for the SAS doctors, that now we have made a platform. Yeah. We need SAS doctors to direct and meet to us and then get it going. And I'm sure that this will achieve a big target for us.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think we've tapped into the enthusiasm of people. I think there's a huge untapped resource there. And we now need to turn that enthusiasm into a strategy. You called it a roadmap. I might call it a strategy for a really splendid project. Excellent. I think we should probably draw the podcast to a close. Maybe just with one more question. There may be people listening who, it may be the first time they know of this project, Nitin. If people do want to get involved in the project, if they think they can contribute or they want help from the project or they want advice, who should they contact? Should they contact you, or who would you recommend they contact?
Well, I'm very happy for them to contact me. My email address is nshrotri@nhs.net. So please contact me and I'll put them in touch with the right people. We have had a lot of interest recently and we will need a lot of mentors. So one request that I would make is that though we have had mentors at the moment who've been SAS doctors before, I would very happily welcome anybody who wants to be a mentor to the SAS group.
Okay.
Even the consultants who've gone through normal channels.
Fine. That sounds really good. And we're obviously, we'll need to refresh web pages and things, won't we, so that people can look at those resources. Wonderful. I think we should draw things to a close. Thank you very much for your contribution this afternoon. Thank you for the work you're doing for the project. Nitin, well done on initiating the project. I love hearing the stories about different ways people have come to this. I find it continually inspiring. But let's hope other people are inspired to get involved in the project. And I hope through this project, we can really show other specialties, actually, how one can turn this from being a problem into a success. So thanks very much.